got here on the line, that participated in all the events we did here. And I know events are going on all across the country, and we're just having an amazing summer. So I couldn't be more proud, Jeff and I both, to work with each and every one of you. I really want to congratulate you tonight, your commitment to your own excellence and your own growth, and really knowing that we're in a time to take advantage of all the good things that we have happening for us and with us. So tonight, without any further ado, we're going to move forward and have you listen to, speak with the author of our book, Go Pro. But Jeff's going to say a few words first. So, Jeff?
Well, thank you, Cheryl. And it is really my honor and privilege and pleasure tonight to be on the call with you and Eric. First of all, Cheryl, I want to acknowledge you and the level that you show up at, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You truly are a pro in our industry and quite an example for all of us to follow. And it really, it's something that I look at, and I'm very honored to be in this business with you and the example that you set for all of us.
Well,
so,
thank you so much. I only got it from you.
Well, thank you.
We like doing this together, and everybody knows that I admire and love you dearly. So thank you for that great compliment.
And the other thing I want to say is, for all of you that are on the call tonight that have stepped up and said, okay, that I'm going to be outstanding and lead by example and be the best distributor in my organization and, you know, and watch the feet, not the lips, and really step up and, you know, and take this business serious and decide to become a pro and, you know, and understand that, you know, develop the skills, and if you want more in life, you have to become more in life. And, you know, for all of you that are on the call tonight, my hat's off to you for the level that you're playing at and the level you've already accomplished in our business, and really the best is yet to come. So Cheryl and I are so excited about these calls that we do with you guys once a month and leading into our leadership conference that we have with you guys here in August in Memphis. Is it August, Cheryl?
It was August last year, but we're doing it at the end of July this year. And a lot of the folks on this line are qualifying. They're stepping into senior sales coordinator position and will be there with us. So it will be the biggest Q school. I think this is what, Jeff, I think it's our either 13th or 14th year that we've been doing this. And so we're very excited because we're going to have a very large group, and everybody on this line will be with us at some point in the future, but we've got a large number this time. So
it's growing and growing year after year, Cheryl, the Q School and you know, this organization, you know, the Cortese organization in the Juice Plus world is the fastest growing organization here in North America, and the example of all the distributors around the world. So my hat's off to you. But tonight we have something very special. You know, when Cheryl told me the homework was, you know, for everyone to read the GoPro with Eric Worre, and I said to Cheryl, I said, you know, well, Eric's a buddy of mine. You know, Eric and I go way back when he first started in the industry. You know, we started together, worked together, and, you know, I've done some events together with Eric, and, you know, we did Eric came down to Florida and interviewed me, and we had it on the site and had, you know, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of hits we had together, Eric, on that. And, you know, and the thing I will say this about Eric Worre, you guys have read the book. You've seen him on YouTube or on the different videos. But the thing I love the most about Eric Worre, he's a giver. He plays from the heart. He truly is involved in this industry to pay it forward, to make an impact, to make a difference, you know, to serve. You know, I'm a big believer in life. What you get lasts a while. What you give lasts a lifetime. And when Eric called me up and said, hey, will you do this interview, or will you come out and speak in Vegas at the conference I have with, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people, whatever it is, I said, absolutely, Eric, anything for you. Because I know the level he plays at and where his heart's at. So it's our honor and our pleasure tonight to have the architect, the guy that's behind this whole thing with the GoPro and started this movement, and what the huge impact and difference he's making around the industry, and that's Eric Worre. And I know, Eric, we'd like for you just briefly just to share with everybody on the line tonight a little bit about yourself, just kind of a snapshot of your story of where you came from and, you know, and what's going on in your world today, and if you would just share your story with us real quick.
I'd be happy to, and can you hear me okay, Jeff?
Yeah, we can hear you, buddy.
All right, great. Well, thank you both to Cheryl and to Jeff for the introduction. It's really nice, and it's fun for me to be able to come onto a call with a bunch of entrepreneurs inside a great company and a place where I got my start. I'm forever in debt to people like Jay Martin, people like Jeff Roberti and Cheryl Cortese and Bob and Sue Burdick and so many others who taught me when I was, I had lots of problems when I was in my early 20s. I got involved in the network marketing profession with NSA in 1988, January of 1988.
My start date as well.
Yeah, January 21st. What was yours, Cheryl?
January 1st. Jeff and I kicked off the new year.
Got me by 3 weeks.
Right.
but I will tell you what happened with me. I came out of a nice family, had every opportunity in the world, didn't use any of the opportunities. I had 18 different jobs before I joined the network marketing profession and no college experience. And, I had some software issues, what I call it, between my ears, some issues that kept me back from moving forward in life. I was a professional blamer, as an example, and wanted people to pay me more first, and then I'd work harder, those types of things. And network marketing, I give you no exaggeration, saved me, and mostly by challenging me. I was challenged, and then I found some mentors. And I'll talk to you about that a little bit. But I got to tell you, my start wasn't amazing. Actually, I was in the right place at the right time, lots of momentum, lots of things happening, people making good money and building a good business. But I never had any duplication. For my first 3 years, I think I was the hardest working person I knew, and I literally rebuilt my organization 7 times from scratch. I'd build it up to 20, 30 people, and it'd fall apart. I heard about it. People say, you get 5, and they get 5, and they get 5, and pretty soon you have this huge group that runs away from you. I heard about that. I saw other people doing it, but I never experienced it for me for 3 years. And it was frustrating. I started to question myself. I started to doubt myself. I was wondering if maybe, I was like 27 levels below Jeff in the structure, so maybe I'm just not close enough to the fire, or maybe you can't do it in Minneapolis, or maybe you have to have a little more experience. Maybe I'm just not cut out for this. Maybe it's I'm something defective about me that's keeping me from where I need to go in network marketing. And I'll never forget the day that turned everything around for me. The one lesson I learned early on was to never miss a conference. And back then, the company did about 3 big events a year, and major, kind of regional events. But they were significant. They had a lot of attendance. And I made a commitment to never miss one. And I know there's some people on this call that did some creative things and maybe are doing some creative things to get to your next conference or did some creative things to get to your last one. I've done everything you can do. I've carpooled, and I've slept 8 people in a room. I've slept in the bathtub. We've duct taped the minibar shut so none of us would go bankrupt, and went to the grocery store to be able to get our food and all that stuff, being creative to try and figure out. I learned that it's better to be resourceful than it is to have the resources. It's better to get creative than just write a check sometimes, because it makes you grow a little bit stronger when you do it. But anyway, I'm at this convention and I'm discouraged. I got to be honest with you. I'm wondering if there's something wrong with me. And the night before the convention, night before the conference, I'm watching CNN, and on CNN is this obscure expert is being interviewed on some strange topic. And I remember going through my mind is, how in the world does somebody become an expert at that? It doesn't even make sense to me. But then I've said, well, they probably read all the books. Maybe they wrote a book about it. Maybe they have some, you know, lots of experience with it. Maybe interviewed everybody around it. And eventually they became an expert. CNN called them. And nothing happened to me that night, but that kind of filed away in my subconscious. And the next day, I'm sitting in the conference, and there was a moment where it was literally like getting hit by lightning. I went, wait a minute. And I connected myself with that obscure expert from the night before. And I said, what if instead of what I've been doing for 3 years, which is looking for timing and positioning and an angle and a special system and some special technique and, you know, hoping to get that magical distributor that was going to change everything for me, you know, the myriad of things that I've tried over 3 years, what if I just let go of all that? And I just decided to become an expert here in the network marketing profession. What if I learned what the skills were that you need to master in order to make big money and have big influence? And what if I mastered them not only in my head but in practice? If I did that, I'd probably be up on that stage pretty quick. And in that moment, I got to tell you, the one thing I will tell you is until you make a decision like I made in that moment, network marketing stays pretty hard. I mean, the obstacles are pretty big, and you know, the fears and doubts are pretty tough, and the rejection's pretty miserable. It's hard, but once you make a decision for real that you're going to do it, it gets pretty easy. And I learned that once I really made a decision that I was going to work on the skills more than anything else. I wasn't going to hope for a shortcut or a leg up or a favor or anything. I was just going to do it from where I was, right, in that moment. Once I made that decision, my dominant emotion, which had been up until that point, my dominant emotion was fear and doubt and uncertainty. And in a moment, that went away. Now, I wasn't where I needed to be yet, but I wasn't scared anymore. I knew what I needed to do. One, find out what the skills that I needed to master. Two, master them. And I started that weekend. And I'll tell you, I've moved forward over the course of the last 20, whatever it is, 26, 27 years, and had a, you know, a big career and have done well, not as well as the people on the, that introduced me on this call. But I feel like I've developed a knack for identifying what the top earners do and then communicating that in a way that is, you know, hopefully easy to digest and understand. I will tell you one thing, that one of my major mistakes in my career is I did before the company shifted to Juice Plus, I didn't stick it out. That was one of my major regrets, is that decision not to stick it out and not to understand that the company was going to, and Jay was going to be smart enough to take it to the next level, which he's done on a dramatic scale. But all of that aside, I will tell you, I've learned a lot, and I've grown a lot. And I hope you've gotten value from reading the book, or at least starting the book. Or, you know, like I say, one of my big mentors was Jeff back in the day. And so many others. What a school of talent that was spawned from your company. It's just beyond belief, the reach and the impact it's had on our profession. It's been dramatic. So that's just a little bit of my story, and I'm grateful to be here and serve and provide as much value as I can for you.
Well, we're thrilled to have you tonight. As you heard people on the phone saying, we're just very excited because, you know, your book has really made an impact on us as a company, as an organization, and continues to. One of the things that I love about it is it really does help people grasp that vision that this is a very powerful profession and one to not only be proud of, but that, you know, you can engage in to really create any life that you choose, to lead an extraordinary life. By just choosing to become an expert. And, yep. You know, when I started, I don't think that I ever thought of myself as someone that would grow into that. But, you know, I can remember as well thinking after about the third or fourth month, because things were going well and I thought it was an accident, that if I just, you know, got up every day and had that same activity and really got good at those things, then it would work. It would continue to work. And sure enough, it did. And like you said, it wasn't always easy, but as time went on, it did become very, very comfortable in that I felt I could depend on my skills. So, Jeff, any input from you? I would like for Eric to share some of those, you know, those.
I'd love to jump in there, Cheryl. You know, everybody sees us today, Cheryl, you and I, and, you know, the success we've had between the two of us now, and, you know, we've been in the industry now, you know, over 20 some years apiece, over 50 years.
Well, we're 50 years old together.
Yeah, and, you know, and a total earnings of over $100 million in commissions between the two of us. And people see us today, but, you know, when we got started in the business, and even all throughout our careers, we had so many ups and downs and peaks and valleys and times that we were frustrated and disappointed and all these different range of emotions we went through, like Eric was talking about. But we all at one point in our life had that defining moment in our lives, in our career, where we said, this is it. I'm going to do this no matter what. If my upline quits, if my sideline quits, my downline quits, my friends laugh at me and say this is one of those deals, your product's no good, your business is no good, you're no good. When you have absolute resolve, when you say that's it, I've made a decision, I'm going to do this no matter what, once you have that, and once we all made that, we had that defining moment in our careers, our businesses, we started to work on ourselves more than the product, more than the business. It was the you part, developing those skills and getting a little bit better each day, each week, each month, a day at a time, brick at a time, getting stronger and stronger and stronger, developing that confidence, developing that work ethic, developing those skills. Then we built a business that now pays us residual income for the rest of our lives. And it wasn't easy. You know, it's not easy. You know, if it's easy, it's sleazy. I mean, you got to go out there and go to work. You know, you've got to pay a price to build this business. And the biggest, I've always told people, the number one recruiting tool in our business is a mirror. You got to, you know, you've got to look in the mirror. You've got to transform you first. It starts with you. So one of the things that I love and respect the most about having Cheryl and Eric on the line tonight is these are two people that walk the walk. You know, I'm a big believer in watch the feet, not the lips. You know, somebody that's actually doing it. Distributors don't do what you tell them to do. They do what you do. So, Eric, I know you've got a couple areas you want to hit on. I know one of them would be, you know, the network marketing industry. You know, it's not perfect, and maybe you could touch on that a little bit. I know there's a couple other areas, you know, where you talk about, you know, this is a profession. Right. Maybe touch on those if you would.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Here's the thing. I've realized a couple things when it comes to network marketing. And the first is this. It's not perfect. It's got its challenges. There's negative perception in the world. There's ignorance in the world, mostly because people have approached this with a lottery mentality, not with a business mentality. They've come in hoping to get lucky. Maybe, you know, they've got a list of a few people in their brain that they could pass on their risk to somebody else and see what happens. That's most of the people who join network marketing. And then when it didn't work out because it's the worst business model ever to think about, then they blame network marketing for the challenges. And here's what I've learned. There's a catch to network marketing that you've got to embrace. There is a catch. People say, what's the catch? Here's the catch. You have to embrace the ignorance of, you know, the lack of social value, the lack of social acceptance. You have to embrace the false assumptions of ignorant people. You have to embrace it. You have to say, yes, this is why they pay me the money that they pay me, is to help these blind people, these people that are blind, and help them see. That's the price. And if you're not willing to pay that price, you know why I hear so many rags-to-riches stories, is because they'll pay the price. Sometimes you bring in the big shot CEO from some company, and, you know, their neighbor rolls their eyes at them one time, and they say, oh, I'm not going to pay that price. And, well, okay. And they get to go kill themselves in that cubicle or in that office for forever, and they don't get to have the freedom that network marketing can provide. But until you embrace the fact that people, ignorant people, are going to think less of you, until you educate them, there's only so far you can go. That was incredibly liberating to me. The fact that once I embraced it and understood, no, I'm uncommon. I'm, you know, let other people live ordinary lives, not me. I'm not plugged into the Matrix. The Matrix was awesome to see because I'm not going to be a battery in that machine. I'm going to be free. I'm going to pay the price to do it. And part of that is dealing with that perception issue. So once you decide that, then you kind of go, okay, if you have an entrepreneurial bone in your body, this is better. Network marketing is better than any other thing that's out there, any other way to be able to make a living. It's not perfect. It's got its challenges. It's emotional, has its ups and downs, but it's better. I mean, you can't win the argument that it's not better. Number two is if you're going to do it, decide to do it. You know, decide to be a professional. Walk away from lucky. Walk away from amateur. Walk away from being a poser. Decide to really go pro, really be a professional. One of the things I'm proud of is the last 5 years, not 5 years ago, not very many people talked about network marketing as a profession, as a vocation, as a career choice. Now they are. They're talking about being a network marketing professional. They're a little more proud of what it is that they do, and they should be. So if you're going to do it anyway, decide to walk away from lucky. Walk away from average. Decide to go pro. Point number three is learn the skills. There's only seven. There's only seven skills. If you've read the book, you know what they are. If you want me to remind you, here are the skills. Skill number one, find people to talk to. I didn't know that that was a skill when I first got started. I thought it was, if you knew a lot of people, you could make a lot of money. If you didn't know a lot of people, you lived in a small town or whatever, then you were hugely limited. And I found out that wasn't true at all. It's a false perception. What the professionals do is they find ways to meet new people all the time. They find ways to get connected with new people all the time. And it's just a natural reflex today. But at the beginning, it wasn't. You got to get creative to get out there in the world. You know, me as a 22-year-old, Jeff taught me some things to get creative out in the world and get away from all those $5-an-hour friends and maybe make some connections with some people who could help what I was doing, and I could help what they were doing. So skill number one, find people to talk to. It's a skill. You can develop it, and you can master it. Skill number two is inviting. Inviting people to take a look, inviting people to understand your product, inviting people to understand the opportunity, inviting people to just understand what it is that we do. What I learned in that is our job is not to recruit. Our job is to help people understand. If they understand, then they'll make a decision for themselves. It's as simple as that. But this skill of inviting is so important and so undertrained, I think, in our profession that it's, you know, you might need to practice a little bit to become good at it. And sure, you can make up in numbers what you lack in skill. You know, what I saw Cheryl and the Burdicks and Jeff and so many others back then, boy, did they put in the numbers. They just put in the numbers like crazy. But don't get me wrong, it didn't take them long to get really good. When they putting in the numbers, making a lot of phone calls, talking to a lot of people, they got really good at conveying urgency, at getting people to become passionate about the products, you know, creating those raving fans, and then showing people how to grow a network to be able to get more raving fans. If you want to move more product, you need to build a bigger network that's going to move more product. If you really care about the product, build a bigger team that will move more product. So inviting is a critical skill, because if you can't get them to look, then you can't move forward, whether it's building a customer or it's building a team. So inviting people is skill number two. Skill number three is presenting in a way that not only works but duplicates. You could be superstar presenter, but if nobody else on your team can present like you do, in other words, that nobody recruits other than you, then we've got to work on the process to be able to have something that will actually duplicate. So presenting is skill number three. Skill number four is following up. People don't typically make a business decision in one exposure. It takes typically 4 to 6 exposures for a person to make a decision, for them to pull the trigger. It might be try the product, get on a three-way call, you know, check it out online, come to an event or you know, come to a conference or something. 4, 5, 6 exposures spread out, you know, in as short a time as possible. The professionals learn how to make those exposures pretty quick. Will help them make a decision. You know, most people aren't going to make that after one. And most people in network marketing, they do one presentation to a person that they're not ready to join. Right that second, they walk away. And that person was waiting for them to just educate them a little bit more before they pulled the trigger and decided to get involved and change their life. So follow-up is critical wildly needed everywhere in network marketing. Skill number five is closing. And this isn't meant in a hardcore way or twist arms way at all. It's meant to help a person make a decision, to skillfully ask some questions and tell some stories that will help people get past their fears and make a decision that could change their life for the better forever. And there's some simple ways to do that. And we talk about it in the book. If you've read the book, you know what those are. If you haven't, if you have the book, you can go see what those are inside the book. But it's really simple, a few simple things, a few questions that you can ask and tell some stories. If they have some objections or questions, you can help them through those very easily if you develop the skill to be able to do it. I used to be scared to death of questions and objections until I realized that there's only two. There's only two. A person has a limiting belief in network marketing, or a person has a limiting belief about themselves. That's it. Take all the objections you've ever heard. They go into those two buckets. And guess how you overcome objections? You ask them questions and you tell them stories. That's it. You ask for, you know, ask them questions, tell some stories. Tell some stories, ask them more questions. Build rapport. What I learned, which blew my mind, is I learned that questions and objections give you the best opportunity to build rapport with your prospect, to get them to connect with you on another level. I didn't used to think that. I thought the questions, objections would divide you and the prospect, but they don't. They actually, when you learn how to ask questions with a sincere heart and a giver's heart, and to tell stories that will help them see that this is a better way, that you build a tremendous amount of rapport through questions and objections. So anyway, closing, very simple process. And it works all around the world. It just doesn't miss. Skill number six is getting somebody started properly. And I will tell you, I learned so much in my early days about getting a person started properly. And this is where duplication lives. If duplication is a problem inside your organization, I will tell you a big thing that I would encourage you to look at quickly is how rigid and specific is the getting started process in that organization. And if it's too casual, then people will freeze up with fear and they won't take action, they won't get results. And when that happens, they get discouraged. If a getting started process is properly in place, you'll see duplication, you'll see encouragement, you'll see results, you'll see people using the product more, you'll see checks showing up, you'll see rank advancements happening, and you'll see duplication starting to move through the group. So getting people started important. And skill number seven is building for events. All kinds of events, local events, regional events. This Q School that you've got coming up is an event that you should be building for, not just pushing for yourself, but see how many people you can have in your group attending this event. It's very, very important. for the growth of your organization. Then your next conference, your next big conference, how many people in your team are you going to have at that event? And what's your game plan to make it happen? I will tell you that I believe skill number two, inviting, is the gateway skill to network marketing. If you don't invite, you just can't get started. And skill number seven, promoting events, is the highest paid skill. You'll get paid more money for getting people to events than really anything else that you would do. And luckily for me, in my first 5, 6, 7 years, I was good at getting people to events. I could promote an event. And it made up for a lack of skill in other areas. While those skills were developing, I could get people to attend events, and the events would do the work for me. I'd provide the people, they'd provide the presentation, and I'd be able to get the benefit. So those seven skills are not hard to develop, but you got to work on them. I did a retreat recently in Mexico, and I asked an attorney how many hours it took for him to become an attorney, including classroom and including homework. And it took him 16,000 hours of practice and investment before he could be a licensed attorney and start earning money. And then I asked that same gentleman how many hours, realistically, he had given to the study and practice of his network marketing skills. And he was embarrassed. Because it wasn't even really 20. It wasn't even 10. He just joined and started winging it, like everybody does, instead of developing those skills. So, it was a big moment for him, and I hope a big moment for you, that if you just, you don't have to practice for forever, and I don't want you to get lost in practice, but I do want you to get, make a commitment that you're going to work on your skills so you become world class and you don't have to worry about luck or timing or positioning or support in any way. You got it from this moment forward once you make that decision. And the other thing, Cheryl, is it all right if I talk to him about how to build confidence?
I would love for you to do that, because I think for all of us, when we start and as we progress, once you really capture that, that's another big stronghold in your business. And yet so few of us start with confidence because we don't grow up knowing this type of in business.
Right. Yeah. Confidence is a funny thing, and I agree with you. Once you have confidence, wow, people attract to you, and you get results, and people look up to you, and all kinds of different. You don't have to motivate yourself so much because you feel like you're bolder when you have confidence. Well, the egg type of a situation. I believe confidence comes from two things. One is understanding the gift that you have in your hands right now, the power of what network marketing can provide for you, the ability to be able to leverage all the investment and time and energy and expertise that the company's put together, and all you need to do is bring a little bit of your passion and work on your skills a little bit, and they'll take care of all the rest and send you a check. Once you understand the fact that this isn't just about you, it's about how many people you can help. Once you understand how many lives that you can touch, and your paycheck is a reflection of the lives that you're touching by the work that you do. The bigger your paycheck, really, the bigger the benefit you've provided for more people around the world. Once you understand that it can grow outside of your small town and grow outside of your state and grow outside of your country and grow around the world, but because you got it started, people's lives are going to be able to change. Once you understand the causes you're going to be able to contribute to, the people in your family you're going to be able to help, once you understand the freedom that you're going to be able to have and the travel and the friendships and all the benefits that this profession provides, once you understand that, you'll pay any price to get there if you really believed it. So understanding what it is that we have is step number one to building confidence. Step number two is the skills. Think about anything that you're really confident or you've ever been confident in your life. Why were you confident in that thing? Because you had it. You knew it. You just, nobody could fool you on it. You were experienced with it. It became normal. It wasn't outside of your comfort zone. You spent the time, whether you were an athlete at some point in your life or a musician at some point in your life or something. You're an educator and you're an excellent educator, whatever it was. Think about what built confidence inside of that profession. You weren't confident the day you started, but your confidence grew as your skills grew. That's why I talk about skills so much, is the skills are really what build the confidence. It was for me. I will tell you, I'll give you an example. Jeff was the number one income earner, obviously, with the company when I got involved. And I wanted to get up and do a presentation in front of the room. I was scared to death to do it. And I had no confidence at all. But I had a lot of desire. I really wanted it bad. So what I did, and Jeff, I don't know if you still do the same. Well, I know you don't still do the same exact presentation. But, man, back then, you did the same presentation word for word. Same joke, same pause, same open, same close. And it worked. It was solid. So I said, well, who's better to emulate and duplicate than that? So I recorded it on my little audio recorder. I recorded his presentation, and I played it back, and I transcribed it on a legal pad, word for word. Exactly. I put my name instead of his name, and I transcribed the entire presentation word for word. And then I recorded it back. Remember the audio cassettes? You could buy them at 40-minute lengths and 60-minute lengths, 80-minute lengths. Some of you are too young for that. But I recorded the presentation, and I got it onto a two-sided audio cassette, and recorded my own voice doing it, and I had to do it like four or five times because I realized my voice was terrible. There's no energy in my voice. It was awful. So I had to do it a bunch of times until I got it right, and then I put it on both sides of that audio tape, and I put that in my car, and I listened to it 500 times at least. I had it down. I could do parts of it today. I had it down word for word. If you wanted me to talk about the company, I got it. You want me to talk about the product? I got that. Nail it. You want me to talk about the compensation plan? No problem. You want me to host the little testimonials part? I got it. I could nail any part. And once I became so filled with confidence just for that one little presentation skill that if somebody put me on a three-way call, I was confident. I could reduce it down to three minutes. If somebody had me on a conference call, I could do it on a conference call. I could do it in a one-on-one or a two-on-one. I could do it in a little home meeting. I could do it at a local event. I could do it. I had it. And that one little thing gave me a roadmap to, okay, what's the next thing I can master? And there was another guy that had a getting started process. His name was Michael Nelson, lived in Minneapolis. And Michael Nelson had this amazing getting started process, which I put mostly in the book. And I duplicated that getting started process and started using that with my team, and my confidence went sky high because I knew people were getting off to a good start. So one is, if you really want to build confidence, one is understanding what it is that we have. Two is the skills, and I would add a third one. And this might sound a little bit foo-foo, and, you know, I apologize for that, but once you understand your real purpose on this earth, and for me, once I understood my real purpose on this earth, to encourage and support and help to educate and move forward the great people in the network marketing profession, think about what you're doing in your purpose in helping people live healthier lives, helping people have freedom, helping people live their true potential. I don't know if that's your purpose or not, but once I understood my purpose inside of network marketing and even inside of Network Marketing Pro in training, my fear went away because it wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't about my fear of loss. It wasn't about my ego. It wasn't about my income. It was about fulfilling why God put me on this planet in the first place. And each of you have a little bit different purpose, but I bet you that your purpose can be fulfilled or accelerated through your involvement with Juice Plus, through your involvement with the network marketing profession. I assure you it can. Some of you, it might be the network marketing profession itself. Some of you, it might be something else that you're using network marketing to be able to push yourself into that purpose. But once you really understand your purpose, then your fear just disappears. It just goes away. So those three things are what I've seen through all the top earners and for myself that have really contributed to having kind of unstoppable confidence.
Well, that's a beautiful description, and I loved every word of it all. I just, you know, and I had to giggle when you were talking about Coffee and Jeff, and I mean, I've literally had an old VHS tape. That was how I learned it originally. After Jeff came and we got started, and I watched it over and over and over, I could actually do all the hand motions because he was exactly the same all the time. Exactly the same. And yet what you're talking about, though, is just, in a sense, immersion learning, where you just immersed yourself into that repetition, and repetition ensures integration. So, you know, you really put yourself in a position to soak it up, so to speak, for yourself. And obviously that paid off major, but I think that's so important. And what you're saying here, you know, as far as your purpose, you know, Jeff and I say that often now. I mean, we, you know, we probably wouldn't have to do this every day if we didn't want to, but we love it. And, you know, I love being part of the solution. I know many of the people on the line feel the same, and Jeff does too, being part of other people's solution as far as their health and especially their choice to really enter our business or a way to create for themselves financial freedom, to take control of their lives, to, you know, as we hear from time to time, to really own your life instead of it owning you. And so that's a big thing for me. I love being part of that. And so we say this often, too, is that, you know, we make the money to keep doing what we're doing. You know, that's what we love about it, is that the money just facilitates the, you know, freedom to continue to do what we're doing. And there's so many things.
I know that you love seeing a breakthrough in somebody else. You know what fires me up more than anything, Cheryl, is seeing and being able to be a little tiny connection, just a little encouragement, just a little part of the story. I mean, they're doing the work. But the fact that, you know, you can have an impact on a life and just know that that impact just changed a million lives.
And you never know where it's going to go and how much it's going to do for people. And, you know, I'll always say that my very favorite thing, as we describe our favorite things, is that, you know, when I'm either speaking with someone personally or in presentation in front of the room, when I see the light come on behind someone's eyes, when it's either for the product or the business or both, but there's that moment. You can see it. You can see when it happens. And it's just a charge that, you know, it's just as wonderful every time it happens. It never gets old. And
I know you get to feel the same thing I do. Is I get people every day with tearful messages or emotional emails or whatever that just said, you know, guess what? I was lost and I found my way. My family was in a bad situation. Now we're in a good situation. And I needed to hear something that you said at a certain moment. Or you guys also have, how many people, their health completely changed, their family history completely changed, the legacy of being, you know, people being healthier longer through their lives completely changed. I mean, how many millions of people are affected from that mission? It's just mammoth. So it gets me excited. It gets me really, really fired up, and it's the reason why I do what I do, and I know it is for you too.
And the same with people who really, you know, can, because for me, financially, I was just terrified. So to be able to step out of that fear and help other people step out of that fear is just huge. And I know Jeff's probably champing at the bit. He wants to
say
something.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I mean, there's nothing else to say, guys. Eric, you covered it beautifully, you and Cheryl both. And, you know, I just love what you said, Eric, you know, is understanding what you have and developing the skills. And, you know, we all have that moment of time, that, you know, that defining moment in our lives. And, you know, I remember when I came into the business in the beginning, it was out of desperation. You know, when you're struggling and you're broke and you're, you're behind on your bills and your promises, and you know you're looking for an opportunity to grow and become more and have more, but you still understood that the only way you were successful is by helping other people. You know, you realize that, you know, and your outcome
well,
or your
can,
goal
can
might have
can
might
I
have
can
been,
I interrupt you for 1 second, Jeff?
Sure.
I will tell you another turning point. You when you were talking about helping other people and you were talking about at the beginning of the call that I'm a giver. That's true today, but I got to be honest, it wasn't true at the beginning. And it's one of the big reasons I didn't have the success that I was looking for is I was a taker. I was looking to get for Eric. I was looking for me to get to that rank. I was looking for me to get to that income level. I was looking for me to be recognized and put on that stage. It was about Eric. It wasn't about anybody else. And it wasn't until I turned it around and said, it's not about me. I'll get what I want if I really, that'll take care of itself. If I serve whatever community I have, even if it's 5 people on a team, that's it. And I just serve them, that's going to take care of everything that I need to have. But that was a big transition for me. It didn't start off that way.
Yeah. You know what? And Eric, and I appreciate you saying that because we all go through different stages of our career. And, you know, when you're broke and you're hungry and you're desperate and you're looking for some things to change and, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty in your life, you know, it's easy to get distracted and, you know, and maybe focus just on yourself. But if you really understand our industry, if you really understand our profession, and if you understand the fact that the only way you're successful is based on the success of other people, whether it's your customers or your distributors, and you truly focus on, you know, putting their needs ahead of your own and adding value to their lives and creating these raving fan relationships, even in the beginning when I was broke and I was desperate and, you know, was looking for some things to change in my life financially, I still understood, Eric, that the only way that was possible was to help other people. And, you know, like today, you know, Cheryl and I, we talk about it all the time. We've made our fortune. You know, we're on this call tonight not out of desperation, guys. It's truly out of inspiration. It's truly coming on here tonight with Eric and the three of us saying, you know what, we're going to pay it forward. We'll never forget where we came from. We'll never forget how somebody shared this opportunity, shared this industry with us, and how it changed our lives. And to be able to play that small part in somebody's success, you know, by sharing this, it's priceless. You know, you talk about Eric getting the messages or the emails or the Facebook, and, you know, and somebody's life has changed, whether it's their health or their, you know, who they become or their growth or their financial. You know, it's just you can't put a price tag on that. And, you know, Cheryl and I, we talk about this all the time. We're wealthy emotionally, spiritually. We're wealthy in relationships and love and connection and growth and contribution. And, you know, it's one thing to have the money. You know, it's another thing to have that fulfillment, that true meaning and purpose and something that you're really proud about. So we get off the call tonight, guys, the three of us. And we feel very proud about what we do, our industry. You know, one of the highest paid professions in the world is the direct selling industry. It creates more millionaires than any other professions. It's one of the most honorable professions, direct sales, network marketing. I mean, the sales profession, if the sales don't go on, everything stops in our world. So, you know, you got something here that you need to be very proud of. And I think, you know, I love what you're talking about, Eric, because sometimes we're not, you know, people don't have that pride in what they do and understand that this is a career, this is a profession, this is a multi-billion-dollar industry worldwide with huge numbers and huge impact around the world that's touching and changing people's lives. And, Eric, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for coming on the call tonight. Thank you for playing at the level you play at and what you've done with, you know, the entire GoPro and the whole program that you've put out there worldwide. And every time you've called me, I've jumped on the opportunity to play a part in it because it truly is making a difference around the world with people's lives. And Cheryl, thank you for putting this call on tonight, and thank all of you for being on with us here this evening.
And, so and we really, Eric, we certainly did enjoy it. And for everybody on the line, next call, we'll go through and just some of the highlights. I mean, pay close attention to the active candidate list, active contact list. I mean, I think that's brilliant. There's so many things in this book that are just such good, clear direction and information. And thank you, Eric, so much for your input tonight. It was great talking with you again. And we look forward to hopefully hearing